Well, I want to invite our guest speaker for this morning, Don Lee from World Vision, who is joining us. And as he makes his way up, and I'll give you a chance to kind of get set up as you need to, Don. Very excited to have Don with us. Don is the West Coast manager for Team World Vision, and we are delighted to have him here with us today. And Don has an interesting backstory. He just moved here from Southern California about 6 months ago or a year ago?
A year ago.
And has been working with World Vision for the past 6 years. And Don has been an actor. He's been a movie producer, a pastor. Just kidding. Not a movie producer. I gave you a promotion there, didn't I?
You did.
I before the service, we were talking. He says, I've been in front of the camera. I've been behind the camera, and but also as a pastor. And so we are so delighted to have you here with us. I'll let you take it away.
Thank you, Dan. Well, good morning. Hey, that's pretty good. All right. Well, it's so great to be here this morning. Here's the thing. When I got the invitation to be here this morning, I was like kind of nervously excited because Cascade, you guys have a reputation. I don't know if you know this or not. You have a good reputation. Let me clarify that, right? A good reputation of being world changers. Now, how many of you participated in the 6K a couple weeks ago, the Global 6K? Can I get a woo? All right. How many have you, maybe you didn't participate in that particular one, but you participated in one a couple of years ago maybe? If you participated in the Global 6K or ran with Team World Vision, can I get a woo?
Woo!
Awesome. That's amazing, right? World changers. Believe it or not, since 2016, I had to double-check these numbers. Cascade Covenant, this church has raised over $400,000 for clean water. That's 8,000 kids with life-changing clean water because you said yes, and that's why I feel like I'm amidst celebrities. Now, God's been doing a new work at Cascade and at World Vision, and it's literally turned our worlds upside down, and that's what we're talking about this morning, the upside-down kingdom of God. Now, before I joined this amazing team at World Vision, I was a pastor for about 11 years. Before that, I was a mortgage loan officer. I had a band that traveled the country. I was an actor in Hollywood for 1 year. I also was a radio host in Baltimore, Maryland. I had a startup media company. And in my free time, I would go to Comic-Con in San Diego and dress up as a Ghostbuster sporting a proton pack that I built from scratch. Movie accurate. Check that out. It's movie accurate, folks. And now guess what my major was in college? Behavioral biology. You see that connection there? No, there's no connection. It's upside down, right? Well, when you look at God's word and we take a bigger picture of what he's doing, we look at this upside down narrative that's Christianity. We check this out. It's just so amazing. We follow a king who washes our feet. We follow a teacher who uses examples of the Good Samaritan and turning the other cheek and faith like a tiny mustard seed. We follow a coach who calls short people to slay giants, stutters to be his spokespeople, and farmers and fishermen to be his prophets. We follow a CEO who chooses failures and misfits to be on a senior leadership team. We follow a priest who lifts up the worst of sinners as his pillars of morality. We, a founder who built his church on the one who betrayed him the most. We follow a shepherd who would leave the 99 for the one. Amen? Everything about the Bible we believe in, the God we serve, and the Jesus we follow is upside down from the current world we live in, from the ways of this world. And that is why, my friends, it is so beautiful. Take a look at Isaiah 61:3. It says, he will give us a crown of beauty for ashes. Now, if my kids brought me ashes, the first thing I would ask them is, whose are they? Where's the vacuum? Right? I would not be like, oh, that's amazing, ashes. Let's like pretend it's moon sand and make like ash castles out of them or anything like that. I wouldn't be like, hey, here's a crown. But no, God, he's going to give us a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair, upside down. Would you say that with me? Upside down. Now I'm happily married for over 21 years. And yes, that makes me 5 years old when I got married. No. This is a picture of my family. We call this the family tree picture. Thank you. Now, this is a relatively old picture. Now, I've shown this picture on many stages at different churches, and never has anyone been offended until I moved up to Washington and showed this at a church because someone came up to me right after service and was like, "Don, did you have permission to be on that tree?" I was like, "Whoa, Washington folks are very sensitive about their trees, and I get that." I am too. I love trees. So here's another picture of my family standing next to trees. Now, I have three amazing children, and talk about the upside-down love of God shown uniquely in all three of them. My oldest daughter, Abigail, she was born with a condition called aniridia, and basically it means she was born without irises. And now that has all kinds of complications, but just imagine being a first-time parent and finding out that there's something wrong with your child that you can't fix, no surgery can fix, no medicine can fix. Nothing can, she's born with it. And so hearing this news, my wife and I were in tears. We were in shock. We asked all these questions. We were like, is she going to go blind? Will she be able to drive? Will she be able to make friends? Will she be able to go to school? What does this mean? Will she be able to get a job? And in our whirlwind of questions, we clearly heard God say this: love her as I do. I'll take care of the rest. Well, she's a sophomore. She's just finishing up actually her sophomore year in college at UC Davis. And guess what she's into right now? Video editing. Something that needs vision and precision. She's into it. Not only is she into it, she's actually pretty good. She's one of the university's chief video editors. And that's actually, she's got even better than that. Her reputation's going out that she's actually getting paid video projects. Talk about upside down, right? It shows that God doesn't call the equipped. He equips those he calls. Amen? And when we stop to consider how God just sees us, like all of us, the good, the bad, the ugly, he sees it all, but chooses us exactly how we are and chooses to die for us, give everything for us. It makes no sense. It seems so foolish and upside down. But again, friends, that's why it's so beautiful. Now, I know you already know this in your head, but let's pause and take a moment and just really own this, own that he chooses us regardless. Let's own that, because some of us may be feeling this morning that, wow, all I have to bring to God this morning is mourning, is ashes, is despair. But God wants to tell you this morning, no, I'm giving you a crown of beauty, blessing, and joy. And so here, I want to ask you to do something with me. Would you close your eyes? Just close your eyes. And for those of you online, close your eyes as well. And right now, just think of 2 to 3 things that you don't like about yourself. Now, I'm not going to ask you to open them and share them with your neighbor or write that down on a piece of paper. Just a moment between you and God. 2 to 3 lies maybe you tell yourself, or shortcomings or failures. Just think about them. Now, with your eyes still closed, I want you to picture Jesus. Jesus is sitting right in front of you. Not next to you, right in front of you. He's looking into your eyes. He's saying this to you: I see you. I choose you. My child, please stop thinking about your failures and what the world calls you. You are my beloved. I died for you, and I love everything, everything about you. I would leave the 99 sheep over and over again for eternity on end just to be with you. You are mine. You can open your eyes now. Now, for some of you, that moment was so restorative. You were like, I needed that. And for others, you met that maybe with some resistance. Because sometimes, if you're like me, it's hard to accept the upside-down fact that God not only loves me, but that he likes me. right? You might be thinking, there's no way I can actually be one of those people that helps build God's kingdom here and on earth because I'm not this or I'm not that. But have we stopped to consider that maybe God is just sick and tired of hearing us say that? Because as we continue to read his word over and over, God makes it clear that it doesn't matter what your background is, your education, your jobs, your skills, whether you have irises or not. It doesn't matter because we're all called to be builders of the upside down kingdom of God. He not only wants to use you, he wants you to know that he wants to use you. Now, I know what you're thinking. Some of you are like, Don, I know. Trust me. I know that God wants to use me as a builder of the kingdom of God. But the person sitting right next to me, that person doesn't build so well. Right? When we drive by that orange store, they call it Home Depot. They think the tallest building that you can build is a library because it has so many stories. Ba-dum-boom. Who writes this stuff? All right. I'm telling you, God wants you to know that he wants to use you as a builder. So here's what I want you to do. Turn to your neighbor right now and tell them, you're a builder. And in response, that other person say, I know. Now, when we accept this foolish love of God personally and let it become our identity, none of our failures or shortcomings, none of what the world labels or calls us, but only live into the fact that he chooses us. And we are his beloved, then, friends, we are truly free. We are free. And in return for this foolish upside-down love, he only asks us to do one thing, to do the same for others, to join him in joyfully passing it on with him and everything we have, to give the same foolish and upside-down love to others in this world, especially those who are hurting and most vulnerable. And you might be like, Don, where in the Bible does it say that? And I'll say, pretty much everywhere. But if I were to pick a passage that's probably one of the most direct and clear passages, I would go to a passage that this church is very familiar with, and that's Matthew 25, verse 31. Let's start on 31. Jesus says this, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate the people one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And verse 40 is the clincher. It's the one that ties it all together. The king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. What does it mean to be a builder of the kingdom of God? To do the same for others in this upside-down way that God does for us. Now, you can boil it down into two pillars, two constants, two givens. Now, those online, now's not the time to get that second cup of coffee. You want to hear these 2 points. The first pillar is this, to restore broken circumstances. God is calling us to restore the broken circumstances surrounding the most vulnerable people, impoverished people in our world, to provide relief in a tangible way to the terrifying and horrible circumstances of those who have so little in this world. But if we're not careful, we'll easily gloss over the second pillar of the upside-down kingdom of God. When Jesus calls the people who are hungry, thirsty, homeless, and hurting, those who have the least of these in this world, he calls them his brothers and... That's right, he calls them his brothers and sisters, and in so doing, affirms their inherent dignity. How intentional and powerful is this, friends? Because Jesus knows that we as humans, for some reason, no matter how good we are, we subscribe to this false narrative that if you have less, that means you are less. And if I have more, well, that must mean I mean more. But in this one holy sentence in verse 40, Jesus flips the script. He says it all upside down. He says, no, just because people have less doesn't mean they are less. They bear my image and my identity. So when restoring their circumstances, don't you dare forget to affirm their inherent dignity as image bearers of the one true King. Amen? These are the pillars, friends, the constants of the upside-down kingdom of God. We are to restore broken circumstances and affirm inherent dignity. This is what it's all about. We are restorers and we are affirmers. We are what? Restorers, yes, and affirmers, absolutely. And if we're honest, even in our best days, it's hard to do both. When it comes to restoring broken circumstances, when we see something wrong, we'll quickly pour money into it, not realizing, we're like, we want to fix that, pour money into it, not realizing what it actually does, not even realizing what it means to affirm those people's inherent dignity. Or the other happens too, we see something on the news, some injustice that happens, and we're like, oh my gosh, that is so wrong, we got to do something about it, and we do nothing. It's about being restorers and affirmers, and when we courageously say yes to both, and build this upside-down kingdom of God, you want to know what happens? Not only are the people we're serving changed, not only are the communities transformed, but our lives are changed in ways we never thought possible. And I wish I had more time to share more stories from around the world about God's upside-down kingdom and being lived out, but I got time for one, and it's about the story of one of my best friends, Goitom. Now, Goitom was 11 years old when I first met him in Ethiopia 6 years ago. Now, my wife and I had already sponsored a child through World Vision. We knew that the power of $39 a month. We knew that it's not only going to bless his community, but really bless, not just bless him, but the entire community. We knew that going in. But to actually meet your sponsored child, we were like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. And I remember that morning of, I was getting dressed, and we're like kind of late to go meet him, and I had this first world moment, this first world dilemma, and I asked my wife, what shoes should I wear? Now my wife, husbands, you may be familiar with the look, that look like, that's such a dumb question look, right? She gave me that look. She's like, what? I was like, what shoes should I wear? And she's like, you know you're visiting an impoverished child that has nothing, right? And I was like, she's like, just wear your like visiting impoverished children's shoes. I don't know, just put something on, let's go, right? And so I put something on, we went to visit him, and it was so awesome. I brought these gifts, a backpack full of stuff, soccer balls and toys and all that stuff, and after he'd opened everything up, we had this pause, and I was feeling so proud of myself. And in that pause, he pointed at my shoes. And he said, do you have some for me? That was the one thing I didn't bring. You can't make this stuff up. I was just like, oh my gosh. And you see, and in that moment, it's so easy to think, restore broken circumstances. Goitom, I'm going to get you 50 pairs of shoes. And then I found out that I looked at his feet and the shoe, you should have seen it. It was sandals, but it was barely sandals. I'd barely call them. The string was so tattered. One of them actually snapped. He was going with one sandal the whole time. And the sole was barely intact as well. It looked like cardboard. And I saw how far he has to walk for water. It's down this rocky valley. And I'm like, oh my gosh. When we get into this mode of restoring broken circumstances, yeah, let's get you 50 pairs of shoes. Let's get you clean water. But if I really want to affirm his inherent dignity as well, maybe in that moment, it's about simply just asking him a question. And in this case, the question was, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? I remember his face when I asked him that. He just looked at me like, what? Like, I have a choice? Like, that's such a weird question. And he kind of eked out like, I don't know, mechanic, farmer like my parents. Nothing wrong with those professions, by the way, but it was just a passionless response. And then I'm like, all right. So the following year, I got to visit him again. Goitom, what do you want to be when you grow up? He said, oh, I'm going to be a teacher. Maybe a soccer player. I'm like, whoa, that's a big difference. The passion level changed. What happened? He said, well, I never imagined I would meet someone from the U.S. until I met you. And it got me thinking, what else could I imagine for my life? Well, I got to meet him a third year, and I asked him again, Goitom, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he's like, I want to be a professor. If not, I'm going to be a farmer, but a better farmer than my dad. He's already on his way, and when you see World Vision work in his community, World Vision is specifically working with the farmers in that community, learning how to diversify crops, and for the first time in the history of that community, the farmers in that area have grown a profit with their crops. Isn't that amazing? For the first time, and if you're connecting the dots of that story, you're starting to see why Goitom wants to become a farmer, and he's going to be a better farmer than his dad. And through all this, broken circumstances are restored, inherent dignity is affirmed, and then people and their whole communities are transformed. Well, Cascade, the love of God is now calling you to deepen your relationship with our brothers and sisters in Ledia, in the DRC, in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Now, you've been a part of this journey for quite some time, but let me just encapsulate, re-summarize exactly where Ledia is. There's the map, there's the Congo right there, right? And talk about contrast. Ledia, this area in the DRC, is rich with mineral resources, but their people are living in utter poverty. Imagine daily facing the lack of clean water, and the water that you get, you wouldn't feed your pets with. You wouldn't wash your cars with, and they're forced to drink it. The education and economic opportunities and healthcare system were pretty much non-existent at that time. On top of that, they're facing the social effects of HIV and AIDS, leaving thousands of children orphaned. But, since the ECC and World Vision have worked in Ledia since 2013, there have been dramatic improvements, friends. For example, Ledia went from 40% water coverage to 60% water coverage in 8 years. It's amazing, right? This past year, we supported 60 churches by raising awareness on COVID-19 prevention measures. And matter of fact, those 60 churches reached 2,000 people in Ledia. That's 2,000 preventable deaths of this pandemic. That's amazing. Another amazing thing, right? And in our short time there, we've established effective healthcare centers and strengthened the education system. Jose, our World Vision staff there, he put it the best. He said this, people are attracted to the vitality of Ledia. For the first time ever, you have people moving into the area than moving out. That's a sign of progress, friends. In short, God is on the move. In short, it's working. Well, today, friends, I'm asking each and every one of you to double down, to become a child sponsor. Maybe for some of you, again, to step up and say yes to sponsoring one of the hundreds of kids in this community who are desperately waiting on a sponsor to restore their circumstance and affirm their inherent dignity as a child of God. Now, for years, typically, the way we've done this, we've partnered with churches all around the country the same way. We've partnered churches with a local community in need, and it's worked wonderfully. And you'd, after this service, you'd typically go out under those nice balloon arches, and you'd see string and clothespins holding pictures of children from the DRC. And you'd pick one, kind of like at a supermarket. But God has really been challenging us. Last year, we were praying some big prayers at World Vision, and God just wouldn't let us rest. He led us to ask this question, what else could we do to affirm the inherent dignity of these kids from the very first step of the relationship with their sponsor? What would it look like for the first time in history that they were empowered to choose us?
Let me be filled with kindness and compassion for the one.
This Wednesday, June 9th, you want to mark that on your calendars because there's going to be an amazing party thrown in Leti'a, DRC, called the Cascade Covenant Choosing Party. And guess what? The guests of honor are at this party will be the most vulnerable children in that area, where we hope that dozens and dozens of Cascade Covenant sponsored children will be invited. It's going to be a party, or instead of continuing to wait and wait and wait to be chosen, they instead are going to walk into an area and be able to choose their sponsor. They're going to see your picture there displayed with the biggest smiles of power on their faces. They're going to choose their sponsor. And after they choose, they're going to write a letter to you on why they chose you. And you'll be able to read it. And it's so touching, those letters. And then finally, after they write that letter, like any good party, they're going to go into celebration mode and just party like no other party, celebrating not only the fact that they finally got sponsored, but that they also actually got to choose their sponsor. How empowering. Amen? Now, before the pandemic, our plan was to have Dan, Lindsay, we were going to hop on, and myself, and hop on a plane and take those pictures to Leti'a tonight. Tonight. That's serious. We're going to do that and hand deliver the pictures and be a part of that choosing party. But because of international travel plans, bans that are going on right now with travel, we had to change the method of doing this. But we just figured, you know what? These kids can't wait any longer. And so instead, what we did do is do a Zoom call with the field, with our field staff, this past Wednesday, I believe. And that's Jose and your bottom left, and Justine, who work in Leti'a and in the DRC. And in just a few moments, I'm going to come back and give some final instructions on exactly what your next steps are. But one of the things I've been looking forward to all week is hearing Dan just share his heart and vision behind the Movement of Chosen. So let's welcome Dan back up.
Thank you, Don. I can't decide if I'm relieved or disappointed about not jumping on a plane and heading to the DRC. I was fortunate enough to be able to fly there a few years ago to Leti'a, and actually you can put that picture up. When I was there, you know, all over the place, you see World Vision working and ECC symbols of the support that's happening, and I couldn't be more excited for this. For years, as a Covenant Church pastor, one of the things that always kind of made us cringe just a little bit is the wall of children that we put in the back, because there was something just a little too grocery store shopper-like to that, but there was just no way around it. So you go back there and you pick out your kid and you send in your, and it's wonderful and it's awesome, but over the years, you know, that kind of wears off. And so there was always this focus on how we retain sponsors and how we keep people engaged, because I got to see firsthand what $40 a month does. And if you head to the next couple pictures, I mean, yeah, when I went there, I expected to see water projects. There's myself and Lindsay and Ben and actually another guy around the corner. We climbed to the top of one of the water towers that was recently restored and kind of added onto. And if you move on to the next picture, I mean, we saw people filling water jugs at springs that were being capped. Keep going on through these. Kids everywhere carrying jugs of water and also mamas. And this is a kiosk that was built, and this is all self-sustaining. You know, people can buy the city water, but this is much, much cheaper and higher quality. And so that's actually her job. You can see the little cup there. People just, you know, throw some coins in every time that they get water. So it's self-sustaining. Keep on going through these pictures. We saw so many things to celebrate. I mean, here's some kids walking to school. So cute. Here's some kids at school and a water faucet that's been added there that's just right outside their classroom. These are some ladies that are celebrating. 5 years ago, they were making that walk to water. I mean, it takes a lot of your time. Most of us have been camping, and you think about how long it takes to cook your meals, wash your dishes, and then go get more water. Okay, imagine that every day. Well, when suddenly you put clean water access within a reasonable distance, I mean a 15 or 20 minute walk, less than, suddenly you have time to do things like they formed a cooperative and they're growing corn together. This is the kind of societal change that over time takes place with partners like World Vision. You know, governments, aid agencies come in, they might have a lot of dollars, they just dump it down, they say, here you go. But it doesn't create lasting change. What creates lasting change is when folks like World Vision come alongside communities and say, how would you like this to improve? And they involve people, and they involve communities, and it takes time, like 15 years, 20 years time for this kind of thing to happen. But that's the cool thing about sponsoring a child, is that as this child grows, and as you have this sustained relationship with them over time, their family is also growing. Their community is growing. Things change. I mean, over and over again, we saw amazing, empowering stories. In the next picture, I believe, is one of a women's savings bank. So they kind of band together and they learn basic small business skills. And there are no banks in the Congo, folks, at least not in this portion. So how do you get an economy going when there's no capital, no resources? Well, this is where some of it comes from. They pool their money. And they make little entrepreneurial loans, and people start businesses, and they pay them back. And guess what? They learn accounting skills and transparency, which pays off when you're in, you know, an area where there are corrupt governments. Well, suddenly folks start to ask questions. Hey, we do it this way at our little savings bank. Why don't you? I mean, this works. It's worked, proven over and over and over again in the lifetime and the decades that World Vision has been around, and it's changing lives. So here's what we get to do. As Don said, you know, choice is a powerful thing. Mm. And, you know, there's two sides of it. There's the I get to choose piece, and then there's also the I was chosen piece. And when we're talking about the world's poor, there are no choices. I mean, your story about asking your sponsor child, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I don't know. There's no choices for anything. And so suddenly, when you empower someone to choose, I mean, God gave us choices from the beginning in the Garden of Eden. That's part of human dignity. That's part of being made in the image of God, is to have and to exercise that power. And there's something miraculous that happens when we're able to do that. And so just flipping the script here from going out into the foyer, and I mean, it's awesome. That's work. It's been a blessing. But the added layer of now putting our hearts out there and really saying, hey, choose me, that's kind of vulnerable, isn't it? But the difference that will make in the hearts and in the lives of children and in the communities of the world's poor we can't underestimate. And so a couple weeks ago, Danny Cole, who is our World Vision rep, she wasn't able to be here, unfortunately, this morning. I was on a call with her, and she's like, so how many kids do you think Cascade is going to sponsor? And I was like, well, man, I don't know. I keep thinking we've hit the saturation point like 5 years ago. But then whenever we do this, we add another 20 or another 30, or I think there's like 150 kids that our church has sponsored, which is, you know, more than half of our worship attendance right now. And so I was like, man, I don't know. And she says, because I have to tell the people in Lydia how many kids to invite to the party. And I'm like, oh, man, I don't want to get this one wrong, right? And so I kind of closed my eyes, took a deep breath, said a quick prayer, and I said, 50. And I wasn't meaning to sound that confident. I kind of meant to say 50, but it just came out, 50. We can do 50, I think, right? We can do 50. We got this. And over the next few weeks, I've just been praying, God, bring us 50. I mean, I can't imagine what that would do in the communities that I saw and the families that I saw. I actually think we can do more than that, but I was confident with Danny. I'm like, 50, we can do that. And so in just a moment, Don's going to come back on stage and tell us how we can do that. But I just want to lay it out for you. Like, this church has fought above its weight class for a long time. Let's not stop now. The celebration that we get to have and participate in, not just in Lydia, but here next Sunday, unbelievable. So with God's help and God's power, we will. Don, tell us what to do next.
All right. So I love that. Today, I mean, we are declaring that the children of Lydia have just because they have less doesn't mean that they are less. Amen. We're declaring that like us, they are chosen, and they in turn are empowered to choose us. Amen? So here's what we want everyone to do. Two very simple steps. And the first step is this. If you have a smartphone, you want to get that out right now. I'm going to give you a moment to get that out. Because you're going to text the phone number 56170, and we have that slide as well. Or we had that slide, or you have the card. You have the card next to you, 56170, and you're going to text the word Cascade. You're going to text the word Cascade, and when you do that, you're going to get it's going to text you back and ask you a few questions. You're just going to follow those prompts, all right? So you want to do that right now. Now, the second step is the most important step, because it doesn't matter if you have a smartphone or not. It doesn't matter. Let's say you're technologically challenged, you don't know how to text message, that's okay. Just all you got to do right after this service, if you're here, oh yeah, right there, awesome, is go back and to the, there's a photo booth right outside, right? And we have some volunteers there with iPads, and they'll walk you through. So you don't have to have a smartphone to do it. If you don't know how to do it, just go back there and do that, all right? And so for those of you online, you can upload a photo for sure. You want to text Cascade to 56170. Now, some of you may be thinking, you may be getting flashbacks of elementary school. You might be thinking, what if I don't get chosen? You know, like last one picked, a dodgeball type of thing. I promise you, you will get chosen if you do this. And next week when you come back, you're going to see, you will see string, and you will see envelopes with your name on it. With inside those envelopes will be a picture of the child that chose you. And why? This is awesome. Dan, you want to close this out?
Yeah, so those are our marching orders. So you text Cascade to 56170. 70. I'm really struggling this morning. 56170. Text Cascade to that and a picture of yourself and be chosen. So let's wrap our time up this morning. Please join me in prayer. Lord, we put ourselves out there, and for so many of us, we've already sponsored children, but this is different. And so I pray, man, for the price of a cell phone contract, or detailing our car or doing our nails. Lord, subscription boxes, how many of those do we have? For the price of that, we could change a child's life forever. And so help us to make room, to find space, to find the dollars, Lord. Stretch us, Father. And we pray for our brothers and sisters in the Congo. Man, how enthusiastic, how joyful, and how hope-filled they are. Lord, they have so much to teach us about trusting you, about living contently, about just joy in the midst of any circumstances that we could face. And so we pray that they would teach us that. And as we head out these doors, as we go about our week, Lord, let us not forget that for the least of these, you've died for us, Lord, all of us. We are not more when we have more. We are not less when we have less. We are everything that we'll ever need to be because you love us. Help us to believe that. Help us to see that, Lord, and to live it. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, God bless you and God keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you this week. Go in peace. We'll see you next Sunday.